Today is November the 20th. What is your name?
I'm Ed James III, better known as E3, little E, little Ed, depending on who you ask.
Tell me about your parents. Who are they?
My parents are Dr. Ed James II and Helen Booker James. My father was born in Tampa, but raised in Sarasota. I was a graduate of Booker High School class of 1957. My mother is born in Alabama, but moved to Sarasota, I think, when she was in third grade, and is also a graduate of the Sarasota County Public School Systems. Fun fact about hers, she is a part of the first integrated class at Sarasota High School. She graduated in 1968 from Sarasota. She was a part of a group of students who lived here in Newtown during forced busing. They were sort of split up, and some went to Riverview and some went to Sarasota. So those are my parents. There's a lot more about them, but that's kind of them in a snapshot.
Right. So you know this history. And also your family has a storied history in Newtown. You want to talk about them too?
Absolutely. We've been here for a little over 100 years. My claim to fame is that I'm a fourth generation Sarasotan. And it's kind of funny because when I tell people that I'm from Sarasota, they look at me like I'm an alien. We're not all snowbirds. We don't all, come down here to vacation. Some of us were born and bred here. And really have brought this city to where it is now, although Sarasota County certainly has a plethora of issues that they need to work on to make this a better place. I will say that I'm proud to be of the lineage of people who fought tooth and nail to get us to where we are now. My great-grandmother, Mary Emma Jones, who was a business owner in this community for well over 40 years, led a group of folks from Newtown to help desegregate Lido Public Beach. She, with some more concerned citizens from the area, went out, waded in the water, dealt with physical and verbal abuse, but nevertheless, their tenacity and their stick-to-itiveness helped desegregate the beaches in the 1950s. My grandmother, Annie McElroy, was a part of the first graduating class at Booker High School. I want to say it was 1935, and actually the Literacy Center at Booker is named after her, the Annie Blue McElroy Literacy Center. She taught in Sarasota County Public Schools for 42 years. My father, when he came back from FAMU with his friends, helped desegregate the Sarasota County Public Library system. So to have a lineage like that, to really have a foundation of people like that in the family, is a main reason why I decided to come back and carry on that legacy here in Sarasota.
And your grandmother wrote the book, the book.
The seminal text, But Your World and My World, which I actually have tattooed on my left wrist because I'm left-handed and she taught me how to read and write. So,
okay, so now your recollections of, did you grow up in Newtown and all then?
So 1551 30th Street was where I was born in Sarasota Memorial Hospital. But I lived the first part of my life on 30th Street, right behind Booker High School. We moved after that, but Newtown has always sort of been where I like to call home. My family members reside here, my roots are here, and this is home.
And so tell me about your educational background.
So I attended Out-of-Door Academy from kindergarten through second grade, and it's interesting because there was actually enough students from Newtown that there was a bus that came to Newtown to take us to Out-of-Door Academy on Siesta Key. It was myself, Dumika Atkins, Zakia Atkins, Baraka Atkins, Ashley Atkins, Whitney Reed, and a few other, Mr. Andrews' children. We all went out to ODA around the same time. So I went to ODA from pre-kindergarten through second grade, and then from third grade through high school, I went to Pineview School down in Osprey.
Do you remember your teachers, memorable ones?
Oh, absolutely. Dr. Rice, she was my ninth and 10th grade history teacher at Pineview. And the reason why I remember her is because she is the first teacher that actually gave me a C on anything. She gave me a C because she said that you are a terribly bright young man, but if I don't push you, you're always going to feel like you're the smartest person in the room and you need to work harder. So I definitely remember Dr. Rice. She taught me, AP American History in high school. I remember Mrs. Sievertson. She was my first teacher in third grade at Pineview. You know, it was interesting going to Pineview. I'd always gone to predominantly white schools, but going to Pineview in a quote-unquote gifted setting, particularly for a student of color, can be overwhelming. And I remember Mrs. Sievertson really sort of being there and being not only tolerant but understanding that I was a student of color and coming from that perspective. Didn't treat me any differently, but was very vigilant and aware of that situation. So I remember Mrs. Sievertson, and I love her. Mr. Kaminsky, he was my algebra teacher at Pineview. I mean, there's so many people. I can go on and on and on. I was blessed to really have a superb education. And when I think about education, I also think about my teachers, Mrs. Raymel Grimes. She was my Sunday school teacher, which I'll say I learned a lot from her, you know, outside of the traditional academic realm, mostly about being a good person and having, you know, high moral compass.
Right. Yeah. What about college?
I attended University of Chicago in Hyde Park, just a few blocks down the street from where President Barack Obama and the First Lady resided. Obviously, they're in the White House these days. But when I was actually my freshman year of college was when President Obama was running for office. So they would frequent the neighborhood all the time. And I can remember being late to class because they would shut down traffic because the president was in town. So that was an incredible experience. University of Chicago taught me a lot, specifically living on the South Side with such a, you know, rich culture, particularly rich African-American culture. You know, a lot of people are unaware that the city of Chicago was actually founded by an African-American. He was a fur trader from Canada. And so he came in, I think the late 1700s and established Chicago. And it's had a rich history with, you know, Mayor Harold Washington and obviously people like Barack Obama. So it was a great learning experience for me, not only on campus, but also in the surrounding community.
And you've had a wonderful education and then this great job opportunity, which I'm going to ask you to talk about, but I'm trying to get to, why did you come back to Sarasota?
Why not? This is the most beautiful place in the world. You know, I think far too often, particularly as young people of color, we're always told we need to get out. We need to get out. You need to make it out. But make it out of what, right? When I think of Sarasota, I think of it as a loving place. I think of it as a place, again, where my parents are from, where my grandparents are from, where my great-grandparents are from. And I've never run away from a problem. I think that particularly this community in Newtown, there is a dearth of leadership. There are issues that need to be taken care of, but I thought, why not come back and really be a beacon of hope and be a change agent rather than running from an issue? But also, I love going to Siesta Key Beach. I love Lido Key Beach. Again, my great-grandmother fought so that people like me could actually go to Lido Key Beach and not be worried about anyone threatening us or calling us names. So I want to take advantage of all the natural resources that this place has. And frankly, after living in Chicago for a few years, it made me love Sarasota that much more.
At what point in your life did you say, I gotta get home? When did you feel that hankering? Because you were out in California.
Yes.
What was your company?
I worked at Google. I worked in the legal department at Google for 2 years, doing e-discovery data analysis for patent litigators. And that's just a sexy way of saying that I crunch numbers and I looked at 3 monitors processing data, which was incredible. I worked around some of the smartest people in the world. I think the person who sat to the left of me was a Rhodes Scholar. I think the person who sat to the right of me attended Harvard Business School. So I was around some of the best and brightest minds in the world. But for me, I think one of the seminal moments, and I'll never forget, was when the Dream Defenders, as a group of young people of color who staged a protest in Governor Rick Scott's office, they actually sat in the state capitol. This was, 2013. They sat in the capitol for a month trying to bring Trayvon's Law to the floor for a vote. So Trayvon's Law dealt with Trayvon Martin, who was killed by George Zimmerman, and it was a bill to codify and stipulate ways in which we would end racial discrimination, particularly by law enforcement. And when I saw the tenacity of these young people of color, when I saw what they were doing to really bring about change, it made me sort of reconsider, you know, like, great, I'm working for an incredible company with bright people, but am I really manifesting my destiny? Am I walking in my path? Am I doing something to make the lives of people who look like me and even people who don't look like me better? And I had to struggle with that because people said, you're crazy. You have a great salary. I think I was 23 years old, working for the number one tech company in the world. And, you know, people said, you need to see the light. You need to stick with this company. But I saw these young people doing God's work, and I said, I need to be back home. So, you know, I waited for my stocks to vest, and I left Google, and I came back to Florida, and I rolled up my sleeves, and I got back involved in the political process.
And update our audience as to what you are doing right in the political process.
Well, thank you for asking. I'm currently a candidate for the Florida House of Representatives, District 72, which represents Sarasota County. So I'm running to represent the great people of Sarasota and the Florida State Legislature up in Tallahassee. And Election Day is November 8th, 2016.
Wow, that is so awesome. Oh, my gosh. And where do I go from you saying that? Anyway, somehow I got to find out, what would a representative say about the state of our community right now, Newtown, I mean. And then we can talk about the larger community, but this is about Newtown. This project is, anyway.
Absolutely. So Newtown is a community that's beaming with entrepreneurship. All you have to do is go outside on a Saturday morning and you see folks selling barbecue. You obviously know that we have a plethora of barbershops, beauty salons, nail salons. It's a place beaming with entrepreneurship, but it's also a place that in some senses is suffering from hopelessness. It's a place where many young people feel that they don't necessarily have a path out or a path up, I should say. It's a place that is a food desert. In Newtown, you know, many people don't have access to, you know, quality organic types of foods. You have to go very far. But we have, you know, plenty of corner stores with all the unhealthy food. It's a place that has potential. It's a place that has tradition. So much tradition. In fact, you know, many people don't know, Newtown is one of the oldest communities in Sarasota. And so when I think about the state of affairs in Newtown, things aren't where they could be, but we're working to make things better.
What is your vision for how we can make it better, and what is it going to take for us to make it better?
I think it's going to take putting pressure on people in power to not look at us as problems, but look at us as people who are independent change makers. And I say that because right now there's a huge public policy issue going on at City Hall and the County Commission where they're looking to bring the homeless shelter to essentially to the outskirts of Newtown off of Myrtle, which is in, what, 1,000 feet of a high school, 1,000 feet of a middle school. And I agree that homelessness is a huge issue in Sarasota. And when I go up to the state legislature in Tallahassee, I will work on solutions to rectify a lot of those issues. But, you know, we have to be vigilant and be aware, because if we're not, you know, first it's placing a homeless shelter in Newtown, and the next thing, it's going to be policing the community. And then before you know it, Newtown, as we know it, the tradition of Newtown, will be all but just a figment of our imagination. And that's not an indictment on the Sarasota City Commission or the County Commission. I think there are some great stewards who are doing a fantastic job. But I will say that public policy in Sarasota has not always been on the right side of people in this community.
And I've been looking at this history through 30 people's eyes that I've interviewed. And you're right, it has been a fight for everything. I mean, basic accommodations.
Right, a fight to recognize basic humanity. I mean, I can tell you that my father has shared with me so many stories. And my father now is 76 years old, and he says, look, son, I'm tired. I'm tired, physically, mentally, and but yet my father's never going to retire.
Thank God he doesn't.
Exactly. But he has said that You know, a lot of the things that you take for granted now, being able to go to the movies, go to the bowling alley, just living my everyday life as a 26-year-old person, I've had to fight for. And we live in an industrialized democracy. We live in what is considered a more progressive society than other nations. And my father, who is obviously significantly older than me, but someone who I've lived with my entire life, has had to fight, he and plenty of other people, my father, John Rivers, I mean, the list goes on, but plenty of other people have had to fight for to be seen as equal, to be seen as human beings.
Yeah. What about that young, energetic, smart 20-something, 30-something-year-old who said, enough already, I'm out of Newtown, I'm out of Sarasota, things are not going to change fast enough for me. What do you tell them?
There's no progress without struggle. You know, you can go to Atlanta, there's still going to be issues there. You go to LA, you go to New York, there's still issues there. You know, I lived on the south side of Chicago. Obviously, they're dealing with their issues in Chicago. You know, and I've lived in San Francisco, I've lived in Oakland. There are plenty of issues in Oakland, too, that look like issues in Newtown. Gentrification is one of them. So you can run away from the problem, but problems will always persist. The difference with me and others is I would rather address the issues at home. You know, you've probably heard of folks saying, you know, why should I go abroad and fight in the military, you know, fight someone? They used to say, why should I go abroad and fight for the freedoms of other people when I don't have freedom here at home? Again, I'm privileged. I lived a privileged life. I didn't have to deal with the same issues that my parents had to deal with. I went to a private school. I went to an elite public school. I went to another elite college. I worked for an elite company. But I still understand that with all of those things that I've been blessed with, I still have an obligation to make my community better. Because I'm no better than anybody. I'm no better than the homeless person in the Rosemary District. I'm no better than the kid who dropped out of high school. You know, I was just blessed that I had two parents who wouldn't allow me to do that. They stayed on me, but that doesn't make me a better person or a better human being at all.
Mm-hmm. What about how do we grow leaders, young, middle-aged, whomever, to lead? Because you mentioned a dearth in up-and-coming leaders, I think, earlier when we started this conversation.
Well, I don't want to say, and I probably want to walk back that comment, because I don't want to say that we have a dearth in up-and-coming leaders. But I think we need to sort of reimagine what leadership looks like. You know, I'm wearing a suit and tie right now, and this is the traditional way that people look at leaders. People just take me more seriously because I have a tie on, right? But I'm 26 years old. I have 5 tattoos, and I still think that I'm just as much of a leader as anyone else, whether I'm wearing basketball shorts and Jordans and you can see my tattoos, or whether I have a sports coat on and a tie. We have a lot of young leaders. You know, we have leaders at the barbershop. Think about how many young people they interact with on a day-to-day basis, how many intimate conversations they have. You know, one of my best friends here in Newtown, if you haven't interviewed him, you definitely need to interview him, is a young man named Leroy Butler. Leroy is a 2007 graduate of Booker High School, went to FSU on a full academic scholarship, but decided that he still wanted to continue to play football. So he had the opportunity to play at Lafayette College, which was just recently ranked as one of the top 25 smartest universities in the country. I mean, Leroy grew up in the housing projects here in Sarasota, got his degree and came back, and is now a teacher at Booker Middle School, defensive coordinator at Booker High School, and also does some work with United Way. Leroy is a leader. Mm-hmm. You know, there are plenty of other people like Leroy who are leaders. And so we need to kind of take Raven Coakley is a leader. Yeah. Jeremy Diggins. I mean, the list goes on. I'm just thinking of kids that I grew up with mm-hmm. who grew up here in Newtown who decided to come back and make a change. But, yeah, we need to reimagine what a leader is. A leader isn't always a person who's standing up at the podium giving the speeches. It's somebody who's in it for the right reasons.
Sounds good. What else would you like to share with this, with whomever who will be looking at this website, seeing this documentary, reading the report from the city about the 100-year history of Newtown? What else would you like to say. You've said a lot
in a
short amount of time, too.
Well, it's because I have an incredible, incredible person interviewing me, just kind of steering me in the right direction. You know, all I can say is that Sarasota is my home. Sarasota has been good to me. We've had to fight. My family's had to fight. Plenty of other people have had to fight. But that's what makes it enjoyable, that I can go to the drum circle on Sundays in Siesta Key and know that it was because of my great-grandmother that I can enjoy a sunset on one of the most beautiful beaches in America.
Oh, man, what a great way to end this. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Can we actually take a photo? I want to put this.
Oh, man.
Put this on.
Golly. You know, you're... Just I'm optimistic. I'm really optimistic about everything.
Yeah, just a picture of us just having
interaction.
A conversation.
Interaction.
Let's see if we get the camera in there.
With me holding up my mic, holding up all my
there you go.
Recording devices.